Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are called to spiritually revive ourselves. And this is one of the wonderful opportunities in the church year. The main one is, of course, the holy season of Lent, which precedes Easter. But this is a season of prayer and penance and of special good works to help us prepare for Christmas. It's not the sorrowful time of repentance, is more of a joyful time of repentance, because again the theme is different. The birth of our Lord versus his passion and death, which is so much a part of Lent. But in talking about this time of spiritual revival that the church gives us annually, I want to reflect upon the virtue of patience, which that always comes to my mind when I think of the 4,000 years that mankind had to wait for the Savior. As we know, that's the significance of the four candles. Each one of them is or represents 1,000 years. And together, 4,000. And that is an accurate historical account of the time between Adam and Eve being created and the coming of the Messiah. Now, 4,000 years doesn't seem like a long time when we think of the way the evolutionists estimate the age of the earth. It's upwards of 15 billion years, which is something our minds can't comprehend. Now, it is true that the church does not define for us exactly the age of the earth. There isn't in the Bible or in church teaching, well, the Bible is church teaching as well, because the church is guaranteed the Bible, but there isn't an exact number of years or an exact length of time. But historically, it's quite evident that there have been these 4,000 years. Now, how long is 4,000 years? Let me help you with a comparison to understand how long 4,000 years is. Think of how long our country has been in existence. It hasn't even been 250 years since we officially declared ourselves independent from England in 1776. It hasn't even been 250 years. But let's say we reach 250 years since the founding of our country. That will be only 1/16 in length to 4,000 years. Seems like our country's been around for a very long time. But again, think of how small that is in comparison to the time between Adam and the coming of the Messiah. So God foretold the coming of the Messiah as soon as Adam and Eve rebelled against God and brought upon themselves the ruination of the human race. Already, and this is one of the most important passages, if not the most important or significant passage of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God is telling the serpent, I will set enmities between thee and the woman, and that she shall crush his head. And this is a prophecy of the Messiah coming through the woman, that all pure women who we are going to honor this Friday as the Immaculate Conception. So, again, that 4,000 years since that time, the Messiah was promised and he finally came. But think of all of the waiting that was going on for that amount of time. Again, 16 times longer than our country has been in existence. So patience was the virtue, one of the premier virtues, you might say, had to be there in the Old Testament. Millions of the chosen people and others even that were trying to live a life pleasing to God, even they could sense the coming of a Messiah, some of them anyway. Imagine how long they had to wait. Millions of them waited and hoped that they would see the Messiah, and yet it didn't happen in their lifetime. And we might ask ourselves, why wait so long? Why wait 4,000 years? Wouldn't 1,000 years have been enough, according to our human understanding? Wouldn't a few hundred years be long enough? No, in God's plan, it had to be 4,000. I love that phrase of St. Paul in his letter to Titus. So we'll hear it, I believe it's to Titus, on Christmas Day. When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son. We had to reach that fullness. It only would come after 4,000 years. So patience. Patient waiting. Yes, you could say it was a sense of frustration for those that so longed for the coming of the Messiah, and yet they were not going to see him in this life. But here's the important thing, that spiritual lessons are taught in times of patient waiting that otherwise will not be learned. We have to resist the temptation to think that patient waiting is wasted time. Oh no. God is doing his work in our souls when we patiently wait. At some point, as we know, there will be the second coming. We reflected upon that last Sunday. And even today, we have, not from St. Matthew, but from St. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of the End of the World. When will that second coming of Christ come? We don't know. It's all about the patient waiting and learning the spiritual lessons that get taught. It's not wasted time. And think of all the other things we have to patiently wait for in life. Certain graces. God may have had you praying for years for certain graces. Is that wasted time that you don't get the answer to prayer that you wish so much? It's not wasted time. It's spiritually fruitful time. It will be at the right time that God will hear our prayers. And yes, maybe we need so often to pray much more. We need that patient waiting so that we can learn the spiritual lessons. You know, one of the lessons we always learn from patiently waiting is much greater appreciation for that answer to prayer when it does come. We, as human beings, don't we long for those instant results, those quick results? We want it now. And yet, we have to learn the lesson. We have to practice the virtue of patience. It is a suffering. The word patience comes from the Latin word, which means to suffer. That's right. Waiting is a suffering, often enough. But that cross to bear, that's a blessing for us. So for all the things that you must wait for, all the things you have to work for and patiently await, we can identify, can we not, with the people of the Old Testament who so longed for the Messiah. And even though they didn't see the Messiah in their lifetime, it was all meant to be that way. And God did grant them other graces, other blessings. Again, we have to trust God's timetable. We look at reality through our own eyes, through what we think should be the timetable, but God's ways are not our ways. One of the things that I so much long for is to see the restoration of traditional Catholicism. So many people have been led astray by the heresies and errors of the modern teachings in the Novus Ordo Church. So many have been led into the modernist liturgy and modernist belief. It hurts to see that. It's a test, a time of tribulation for us, among others. But again, opportunity to daily practice patience and to believe that God is working spiritual good in our lives, just like he did in all of those who waited for the Messiah and would not see him. Did he not care for them as much as he cares for others? Of course he did. So it was not for any lack of love or lack of care. It was all part of the timetable that had to be observed. I mentioned earlier that Advent is a time of spiritual revival. It's a fresh beginning to offer up the prayers and sacrifices we've taken upon ourselves for this holy season. And the one that is the patron saint of this revival is Saint John the Baptist. And we're going to see him greatly featured in the next three Sundays of Advent. He doesn't make an appearance today. We don't see him mentioned in the epistle or gospel, but very definitely in the gospels of the next three Sundays. But still, he is the patron saint. He is the one that was called upon to prepare people. And that's why he's called the precursor of our Lord. He came beforehand, because if he didn't do his spiritual work, then they would be much less accepting of our Lord's message. So what was John preaching? He was preaching revival. Make a new beginning. Repent of your sins. Do good works. If anything, he was the antithesis of lukewarmness, that great spiritual enemy of all of us. Get fervent, be fervent, stay fervent. That's the message of St. John the Baptist. And that's why he was having people go down to the River Jordan to be baptized. It wasn't the sacrament of baptism, but it was a spiritual act of repentance and of spiritual revival. So this is the opportunity given to all of us to spiritually revive ourselves with a new start on this first day of the church year. And patience is one of those virtues that is very much something we all need to work on. One of the big sacrifices for all of us is not to put ourselves into the Christmas spirit, you know, start, you know, celebrating like Christmas is always here. We have to be patient. The modern world has no patience. It's already fully into Christmas. Has no patience. Let's prepare. And that will make Christmas all the more meaningful and inspiring and a source of grace for us. So let us pray for each other. Let us have a fervent spiritual renewal. As St. John the Baptist would very much have us do, and benefit from the graces of this wonderful Advent liturgy, this time of spiritual preparation, this time of liturgical great inspiration that we all are given. So have a blessed Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.